Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. So glad, so honored. I feel just special. Whenever you make current sports a part of your weekday afternoon, it is a Wednesday. It's a bit of a cold one outside. Temps in the 20s. It's windy as well, which makes it seem even colder. So we hope to bring you a hot edition of current sports, keeping you warm on this certainly wintry December day. Great show coming your way. Got a few things to get to. Due to how packed of a show we had yesterday, I could not comment and elaborate on Derrick Rose of the Detroit Pistons and how Derrick Rose, when you evaluate his NBA career, especially when he tore that ACL for the first time, knocking him off track of becoming one of the most dynamic guards we've ever seen in the association. I mean, Derrick Rose was playing at such a high level. There were many who doubted whether or not this dude could ever get back to an all-star level, let alone back to the dominance that he had before that first ACL injury. Well, he has had a resurgence with the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons signing Derrick Rose, his first year donning the red, white, and royal blue. Rose has been awesome. And he has been clutch. Two nights ago, we saw Derrick Rose beat the New Orleans Pelicans, a solid young New Orleans Pelicans team, at the buzzer on the road. And Derrick Rose, his numbers have been solid. He's had a rocky stretch in the middle of the beginning of this season, but he has played solid, and he is surprising many in the basketball world right now. I want to comment on that. Also, we will welcome to the show, we'll talk some high school basketball with our dear friend, Eric Doc Love. That's right, the Love Doctor will be in the house. High school football and basketball analyst. He is also the voice downtown Lansing inside of Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. Doc was also a broadcasting partner of mine as we used to do high school basketball and football games back in the day. Just a great guy who was doing some awesome things in the world of sports broadcasting. But Doc will help us preview the start of boys high school hoops here in the area. How good is the Lansing area when it comes to boys high school basketball this season? Are there any state championship contenders out there? Who are the top players in the area? Doc will have all of that and more for you. You don't want to miss that. And also, we'll talk about the interesting world that has been men's college basketball so far this season. Because when you look at college hoops right now, I mean, folks, we're going to have a new number one. After what happened last night to Louisville, number one Louisville, we will have a new number one in the world of men's college hoops for like, what, the third or fourth time now? I mean, we've seen Kentucky and Duke and now Louisville all fall, giving away that number one ranking. Also, Michigan State throw Michigan State in that pot as well. They were ranked number one in the preseason. So it's a crazy, crazy season. And again, we really haven't even gotten started in the world of men's college basketball. So I'll have some thoughts on that later on this hour. All right, so we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the show, whether you're driving in your car or maybe you're at home, maybe you're running some errands. Heck, maybe you're listening at work. I want to hear from you. Let's talk sports live here on WKAR's Current Sports. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I mean, heck, if you're at work, you know, just take a lunch break, a quote-unquote lunch break, and give us a call. Again, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in, courtesy of good old social media, at facebook.com/WKARnews. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that video. I'll do my best to get to a few of your comments throughout this hour. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Jack Kerwin behind the glass, ushering us now into your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here as Lorenzo White is now officially a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. How about that? The long wait for Lo White finally ended as the former Michigan State running back was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame yesterday in a ceremony out in New York. That came after he was named in January as one of 13 players and two coaches picked for the 2019 class in his ninth year on the ballot. White, of course, played at Michigan State from 1984 to 1987 and shattered program rushing records. He still ranks first in career rushing yards with 4,887. Also attempts, 1,082 attempts. And he had 43 touchdowns while donning the green and white. Incredibly impressive. And also rushing yards per game. He averaged 111 rushing yards per game. My goodness, Lo White was a horse. And it's that kind of production that have now led him to the College Football Hall of Fame. Awesome, awesome accomplishment there. And we're working on getting Lo White a part of Current Sports sometime next week. I'll keep you updated on that interview, all right? Okay, tonight, Juwan Howard, in his first year manning the fort as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team. His squad has a Big Ten game today as we are just dipping our toe in the waters of Big Ten basketball. The Michigan Wolverines, ranked number 5 in the nation, will take on the Illinois Fighting Illini on the road, 9 p.m. tonight. Michigan is 8-1 on the year. Illinois 6-3. So we'll see if Michigan can get win number 9. All right, did you see this last night? This was a crazy, crazy game. Totally unexpected. You know, I feel like every year, though, for the past like 3 to 5 years, I've been talking about how much parity there is in the college basketball world, especially around this time of the year where teams are really still trying to figure out who they are. Well, Texas Tech, remember that team, Spartan fan? Same team that knocked Michigan State out of the Final Four, coming just one game short of the national championship last year. Texas Tech upset Louisville last night, 70-57 the final there, as the Louisville Cardinals get that first loss of the season. 9-1 on the year now, and the Red Raiders improve to 6-3 on the season, and this means that we will have a new numero uno in the world of men's college basketball come next week. Just a crazy college basketball season thus far. I don't know, maybe Kansas now takes over as that number one team in the nation. You also got, you know, Ohio State in the mix there as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens next week. But Louisville stunned last night. All right, and ESPN released its list of the 150 greatest college football coaches yesterday, and five former Michigan coaches were inducted. Fielding Yost was the highest on the list at number 18, followed by Bo Schembechler at number 20, Herbert Fritz Kreisler at number 42, Lloyd Carr made the list at number 50, and Benny Oosterbaan at number 127. So five ex-University of Michigan football coaches making that list. All right, you know, I had some fun, just some brief fun with this story yesterday, and Le'Veon Bell, who did not play for the New York Jets this past Sunday due to the fact that he had the flu. He was seen bowling the night before out in New Jersey with like orange leather pants. That's what the report read. Yeah, orange leather pants. Le'Veon Bell seemed to be just fine the night before the New York Jets had a game. So the flu-stricken Le'Veon Bell, the former Michigan State running back great that he is, again, he went bowling Saturday night. New York Jets coach Adam Gase, he said yesterday that the star running back's late night on the lanes was a bad optic, you think, for Bell and the organization, considering that he was too sick to play in Sunday's game. Bell responded later yesterday, showing no remorse and claiming that his only regret was that he was spotted in public. He joked about it, noting that he bowled a career-high 251, quote, coming off the flu. He goes on to say, quote, I don't feel bad about what I did. I didn't break any rules. I wasn't a distraction. It wasn't a distraction until now. End quote. Le'Veon Bell, no remorse. You know, I'm curious. You know, I'm sure there are listeners out there. One day you wake up, or maybe you had a crazy night the night before, and you say, I really don't feel like going into work. Let me call in sick today. Let me call in sick, which is what I think happened here with Le'Veon Bell. Again, who knows? Maybe he did really have the flu. And maybe he said, you know what? Okay. He said his family and friends, you know, they really wanted him to come out that night. And he said, all right, I'm feeling a little better here. Let me go out and grab my orange leather pants and let's go head out and play some bowling. Well, go out and bowl, not play some bowling. Let's go out and bowl. So I'm curious, you know, any listeners out there, have you called in sick when you weren't really sick? Want to hear from you. Or what has been your lamest excuse in calling in for work and not showing up? I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if I have any gutsy current sports listeners out there that will fess up to that. You can give us a fake name, all right? If your employer may be listening, give us a fake name, all right? Say you're Bob from Idaho, something like that. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Oh, the Detroit Red Wings. They are a really bad hockey team right now. The losing streak has now hit 12 as they fell last night to the Winnipeg Jets. 5-1 was the final, as the Wings now sit at 7-22-3 on the year. Yeah. They allow 100 goals a game. They never score more than two. Worst team in the league right now by a country mile. And Stevie Y Steve Yzerman. He can't turn the team around soon enough. Jack, you wrote that in my reading notes just now. This frustration level has to be pretty high. I mean, but can we be all the way 1,000? I remember, you know, talking at the beginning of the NHL year. We didn't expect the Red Wings to be world beaters this season, right? But, I guess maybe you didn't expect it to be this bad, though.
Well, I have no issue with them being the worst team in the NHL because it'll give them the best draft odds, you know, to get that top pick that can help turn this rebuild around. My issue is that they're losing by 100 goals every single night and they're not competitive. That, to me, reflects coaching. And, you know, it reflects, yeah, I mean, it's coaching for the most part for me. I mean, I think the team needs to move on from Jeff Blashill. I've thought that for a while now, and I think the only reason they haven't is just because, I guess, Yzerman thinks this season's kind of a throwaway anyway, so there's no point in, you know, kind of throwing that wrench into the season anyway. But, you know, to me at this point, I guess his, you know, Blashill's message is probably falling on deaf ears, and if that's the case, I think the Red Wings need to make a change here.
And who would your top coaching candidate be?
Well, in season, it would be Dan Bylsma, who's an assistant coach who's won a Stanley Cup before as a head coach. He's on staff right now. So he would be the guy who would fill in the interim. And then, you know, next season, I don't know. It would be probably some assistant in the NHL right now, probably a guy who's never had a head coaching gig. But, you know, right now I couldn't name for you my top candidate. I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if this is indeed Jeff Blashill's final year at the helm of the Wings once this torturous season is over. All right. Some Detroit Lions news for you guys, as the Lions have placed wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr. on injured reserve. Yeah, 2 days after he suffered an ankle injury on the game's final drive against the Minnesota Vikings, it's the second straight season that Jones has ended his year on IR. He hurt the ankle while planting his foot on the last drive. He did finish the game. He played every snap Sunday during that Lions 20-7 loss, then went to get examined. He was the last Lions player out of the locker room and did not speak to the media. Frustration at the highest degree right now when it comes to this Detroit Lions football team. All right. And did you see the contract that Gerrit Cole got? The runner-up teammate to Justin Verlander for the AL Cy Young Award. He was dominant in 2019. He posted a 20-5 record in the regular season as the Houston Astros led the majors with 107 wins. And the hard-throwing righty, he set the Astros record by winning his last 16 regular season decisions and topped the American League with a career-best 2.50 ERA. His career-high 326 Ks were the most in the majors and broke an Astros franchise record that had stood since 1979. That's when J.R. Richard, he fan 313. Well, Gerrit Cole has now agreed to a record deal with the New York Yankees. Check this. It's a 9-year, $324 million deal. What? That's the biggest contract for a pitcher in baseball history. Look, man, you read something like that. If I'm blessed to have a little Al, he will be playing baseball. He'll at least be trying it. I mean, that moolah right there is insane. $324 million for the course of 9 years? And many believe with this move, this now clearly makes the New York Yankees the best team in all of the majors. So we'll see what happens next season and seasons to come as Gerrit Cole is now a New York Yankee. Incredible, incredible stuff. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. I'm serious about that. That playing hooky for work, you know. If again, I'm just curious if anybody has taken off when you weren't really sick, but you call it a sick day. I'm curious, or if you just had another, you know, maybe you weren't sick, or just kind of some kind of lame excuse out, you know, out there. What kind of excuse have you used to get off work? I'm curious. Call in if you have the guts to do so. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's keep it moving. Folks, happy Wednesday to you all. A few of you weighing in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You know, I'm asking the question, what's the lamest excuse? What is the lamest excuse you've used when you didn't want to show up to work for that particular day? I'm curious to read or hear from you guys. And hear the responses that we get here. Ben weighs in and says, I've never called into work sick. I've called in and have been granted time off for family emergency, but that was 15 years ago. Ben, you are the ideal employee. How about that? Never called into work sick? Now what? Wow. Props to you, Ben. Props to you, my man. Also, I'm seeing Ben mention how Penn State beat number 4 Maryland at home last night on the hardwood. Yeah, I couldn't believe that one. Actually, Penn State fans stormed the court last night. You know, they were so amped up. I get it. Hey, man, I have no problem. I don't know what this age-old debate is. Certain people out there get their feathers ruffled anytime they see a particular student section storming the court after a big win. Look, it's college, man. Let these students have fun. You knock off a top 5 team in the world of college basketball, because I saw a few people out there in the world of Twitterverse, in the universe of Twitterverse, commenting and saying, come on, it's too early to storm the court. Penn State, really? Yeah, really. These are students. Let them have some fun, man. You knock off a top 5 team, I don't care at what point in the season it is, celebrate a little bit. I liked it. Had no problem with it. Penn State beating Maryland. You know, and I really believe that this college basketball season is going to be one in which we can't predict. I mean, I think the Big Ten right now, especially around this time of the year where teams are trying to still figure it out, and I think there are some really good teams in the Big Ten Conference. You're going to see a lot of beating up on one another. I feel like I say this every single year in the Big Ten Conference, but you're going to see a lot of that. So Penn State beats Maryland. That was a 76-69 final. And, you know, when you get a chance after the show sometime, you know, check out, you know, the video of the Penn State student section as the fans stormed the court after that win. I had no problem with it. It was pretty awesome. No, you got any problems with that, Jack?
No, not at all. Did you see what the line was on this game?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Penn State was actually favored by 1.5, though they were the worst team in the Big Ten last year, and Maryland was a top 5 team.
Penn State was favored.
So I would love to know what Vegas knew about Maryland before this game.
Vegas had some inside info there.
They're always right.
Dude, that's crazy. That's on some Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci type stuff, man. That's insane. And speaking of that, if you haven't seen The Irishman on Netflix, check it out. Pesci, Pacino, and De Niro. Amazing movie. Side note. But anyway.
That's what I'm doing tonight.
Are you? It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours.
Yeah,
long,
no, we got to start it at like 10 p.m. We've already talked about this at the house. Yeah.
Okay, you've talked about it already. All right, supposedly a true story. Jimmy Hoffa. I'll just stop there.
Amazing. It's Scorsese, right?
Yeah, Martin Scorsese.
Is it better than The Departed?
Yeah, I would say.
Really?
So. I would say so.
Okay.
It's that good, man. It's that good. And I saw Pacino. Congratulations to Pacino and Pesci. They both got Golden Globe nominations for their performances. And today, they got SAG awards. SAG nominations, I should say, for their supporting role in that movie. But De Niro, right now, is getting played, dude. I can't believe he did not get nominated. And he's the main character in the movie, Jack. He did not get nominated for a Golden Globe. And if I read it correctly today, he did not get nominated for a SAG Award either. So they're playing Robert De Niro when it comes to those two organizations. I think he should have gotten nominated. He was amazing. De Niro is amazing in everything that he does. So, yeah, side note there. But, yeah, Vegas knew something, Jack. I did not know Penn State was favored in that game against Maryland last night. And Penn State's not even ranked, right? They are unranked. And Maryland's a top-five team. So, also...
Not only that, if I'm not mistaken, they were the worst team in the Big Ten last year.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I believe they were.
Were they?
They were right at the bottom.
It's incredible. Incredible if so. Indiana also got a win last night. That was the other Big Ten game. 57-54. They beat UConn to improve to 9-1 on the year. So tonight, as I mentioned in the headliners, you guys know that number 5 Michigan will take on Illinois on the road at the State Farm Center out in Champaign. Michigan will try to improve to 9-1 as well. And then you also have Wisconsin taking on Rutgers. That will take place out in New Jersey at the Rutgers Athletic Center. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time, and then Michigan and Illinois will tip off at 9 p.m. So a doubleheader, both of those games will be on the Big Ten Network. And, you look at Rutgers, watching what Rutgers did to Michigan State on Sunday, they didn't win, but Rutgers is not a lie-down team either in the Big Ten. No game is easy in the Big Ten Conference basketball-wise. I mean, it's like this. It's been like this for the last, 3 years now, maybe even more. So there you have that. I do just want to touch on, before we welcome Eric Doc Love to WKAR's Current Sports, I do want to comment on Derrick Rose, because it's pretty impressive what D. Rose has been doing. You know, we saw earlier this week, Derrick Rose, he drained the winning jumper with 0.3 seconds left on Monday night to give the Pistons that win over the New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, I just love stories like this. You know, we root for underdogs. Most of us do in the world of sports. We root for guys who have had troubling careers, whether it be due to something, you know, off the court or off the field, depending on what it is, right? Or whether it be some injury redemption story, which is what Derrick Rose touches on. Because D. Rose, I mean, he's a former most valuable player of the association. He is a guy who was incredibly entertaining, incredibly explosive. He plays the game with so much passion. He is a guy who is not going to talk trash to you. He is going to let his play do the talking. However, after that win against the Pelicans, in which he hit the buzzer-beating shot, he had some swag when it came to the post-game press conference. On the Detroit Pistons television broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit, he was asked about having the ball in his hands for the last shot of the game. And he went on to say, quote, "Excuse my English, but I'm born to do this bleep." You can pretty much guess what the word was that he said. And I was very shocked. I'm like, whoa, D. Rose, man, he never talks like that. But I think it gives us a window into the kind of mentality that D. Rose has right now. It gives us a peek into how D. Rose is rallying himself and feels like he has a lot to prove to those who have doubted whether or not he could ever get anywhere close to the basketball play that he had before that first ACL injury. It's amazing, though, because Rose, he's had some questionable finishes earlier this season. You know, against the Charlotte Hornets on November 27th. Remember he passed up that shot late to Luke Kennard. Kennard couldn't get a shot up in time. That turned out to be a Charlotte victory. Even before that, November 15th, against that same team, game on the line, the Pistons and Hornets have played some really tight games. That same team, against that same team, Rose, he drove to the basket and then kicked it out again to the perimeter to really no one. That ball hit the hands of no red, white, and royal blue jersey. That was a turnover. And then Malik Monk, he goes down and hits a game-winning shot on the other end. So Rose previously in clutch situations, game on the line, has passed up the basketball to teammates like Luke Kennard and the other one to the stands. This time, he was taking the shot. And, you know, I love the quote from Blake Griffin. He said that the team believes in Rose no matter what. This is what Griffin said after the game. Quote, I think it was after the Charlotte game. We didn't execute down the stretch. I went to him and I said, 10 times out of 10, I'm going to you in that situation. He delivered for us tonight. He's delivered for us the last two games in these situations. We have all the faith in the world in him. Now, I think it says a lot that Derrick Rose in his first year with the Detroit Pistons, the leader for this team and Blake Griffin, is saying that you are our go-to guy in crunch time. We believe in you. That's awesome stuff. That is awesome stuff. And this dude has come a long way. You know, and Dwayne Casey, shout out to Dwayne Casey. You know, this is a former coach of the year. I mean, you got a former MVP and a former NBA coach of the year on the Detroit Pistons. I don't think a lot of people think about that still. Dwayne Casey doing that fantastic job the year before, right before the Raptors went on to win the NBA championship with Kawhi Leonard and company. Dwayne Casey was the head man in charge of that team before he was let go and signed on with the Pistons. Dwayne Casey drawing up a play specifically for Rose to get a clean look. Langston Galloway, if you look at that play closely, he faked the screen to clear out space to let Rose get the look that he wanted. And it wasn't an easy look. He had to create space to get that shot off. And it was against Drew Holiday. You know, I mean, Drew Holiday is a really good defender. I love it. I just love watching how Derrick Rose is playing the game right now, and he's playing it confidently. And you're not talking about any big injury problems for Derrick Rose. I mean, he had an issue, I believe it was a couple of weeks back, where he tweaked something, but it wasn't anything serious. This is great for D. Rose. This is great for the Detroit Pistons. And we'll see right now. I mean, they're right in contention right now when it comes to that, like, that 7-8-9 spot. I think the Pistons are going to make the playoffs, and it's going to be fun to watch D. Rose to see if he continues to get better. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm feeling good right now. And a true test, if you have not watched the Pistons so far this season, it's going to be a fun game, I think, tomorrow night when the Pistons take on the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic, who has been playing out of his mind, one of the best foreign players I've ever seen. The Mavs and Pistons will go at it tomorrow night, and we'll see if Rose can keep up this outstanding play. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome to the hour Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball analyst, also the voice of Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. Doc will talk high school boys hoops when we get back. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to the Wednesday edition, the hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, I keep thinking about Michigan State men's basketball, and I keep pondering just how good this team is. You know, we touched on this conversation earlier this week. But, you know, Michigan State men's basketball, I feel like the perception is a bit mixed right now, and I feel like some fans out there are a bit confused as to how good this team is. Later on this afternoon, Michigan State will hold media availability on the practice hardwood at the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo will speak along with a few players. And I'm curious to hear what Izzo thinks about the current status of his team. Hopefully, he's not breaking any kind of news when it comes to injuries for this squad, because that's what happened during the end of last week when we found out that Michigan State guard Mark Rocket Watts, had a leg injury and would not be playing on Sunday against Rutgers. Now, they could have used him for sure, because that was a close game, but they got the dub nonetheless, and we don't know when Rocket is going to return. So just how quick this team can mature and get better. Some young pups are going to have to become men, and they certainly have the talent. I just worry about the chemistry and whether or not they can hit shots. They are shooting so poor from deep right now, and they are relying heavily on Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman to lead them down the stretch in basketball games. Heck, not even just down the stretch, throughout the entire game, really. And Aaron Henry has to continue to be aggressive. Again, even though he shot poorly, I really loved how Aaron Henry attacked the game against Rutgers. He was bad from the floor, but he was aggressive. The shots will begin to fall for him, I think. All right. Let's talk some local high school basketball, because things are just getting underway here in the Lansing area. And, of course, I mean, is there any dude better to have on the show than Eric Doc Love to talk some high school basketball? I mean, he's a high school football and basketball analyst who does a fantastic job on the airwaves and beyond. He is also the voice of Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. He's a busy brother, and we are so honored to have him a part of today's show. Doc, welcome to Current Sports. Eric Doc Love. Doc, it's been far too long having you on the show.
Al Martin, that is correct. It has been far too long since you've had me on the show. I miss you, bro.
I miss you too, man. You know, I keep up with you when I can on social media. Shout out to your beard. That thing looks strong. You've been growing that thing out for a while now, man. How long?
Yeah. It's been growing strong in about, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, maybe.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about, man. The beard is in, and it looks good on you, my friend. All right. And before we dive into boys hoops and start to preview, you know, just how good this area is this season, Doc, I do want to briefly touch on how the high school football season wrapped up, because our area saw two teams in Lansing Catholic and Pawama Westphalia going down to Ford Field and winning state championships. Can you just kind of take us through whether or not you saw both of these teams making the kinds of run that both of them did make that ended in a state title for both of those teams?
Don't forget Fowler and DeWitt. They made it to the semifinals too.
Exactly.
In their division. So we had four teams within, you know, a shot of, a step within Ford Field, but Pawama Westphalia, I mean, what Jerry Miller has out there at that school is remarkable. I mean, another undefeated season, a third title in 4 years in Division VII, and to shut out a team like Jackson Lumen Christie is remarkable, to say the least, because that squad, you know, they stepped down. They're generally a Division VI. They're defending Division VI champs up until this year. They went down to Division VII, did Lumen Christie, and PW, just solid D, man. They just find ways. They're tough. They're strong. Sometimes they don't run away from you at times like they did in that state title game. They just made key plays to get things done. And now Division V for Lansing Catholic, we followed Lansing Catholic throughout pretty much the entire playoffs. And I saw them in the district final against Portland. They shut out a very good Raiders squad, but only lost two games in the regular season. Those were to higher-level competition. And Lansing Catholic, again, one of those special teams that puts it all together for a terrific coach like Jim Ahern, who had gotten his 300th win in the semifinals and then got his 301st and his first ever state title the week after that. It was something special, and they got probably the best defender in the entire state in Sam Edwards. Al, the guy had almost 250 tackles on the year. That's unheard of in high school.
Wow. That is incredible. And so Doc, you know, putting that in perspective, I mean, you know, Jeremy Miller and PW, I mean, every single year, you know, they are very, very competitive. And the same thing can be said for Lansing Catholic as well. But for this to be the first state championship, you know, you mentioned how the historical implications that this season was and brought about for Jim Ahern, and this being the first state championship for Lansing Catholic since, I believe, like the 1980s, was the run.
85, yep.
Yeah, 1985. You look at Lansing Catholic. Was that the more impressive run that you saw this season in local high school football?
Probably. It's tough to go against PW because they went through New Lothrop, who was the number one team, and then they beat Jacksonville and Christie, who was the top team. But, hey, Catholic went through some of the top teams as well in Division Five. It's probably the more improbable of the two just because of PW, how well they've played. And Division Five always seems to have a lot of good teams in it. It was something special, and I enjoyed watching it, that's for sure.
That's awesome stuff. All right, Doc, let's get to boys high school hoops now because, you know, last night we saw some really impressive performances here in the local area. You know, I could bring up Ellis Traynor at Waverly. You know, he opened up his season with 30 points, 11 rebounds as the Warriors got a dub over Kalamazoo Lloyd Norix. Also, Josh Risner at Lansing Catholic. He had 23 points as Lansing Catholic got a victory, an overtime victory, wasn't easy, over Lansing Eastern. You know, there are so many impressive young men who fans can enjoy here in the local area on any given Tuesday and Friday night. What are some other names that really stand out to you this season, Doc?
Well, a lot of guys will go to Andrell Anthony. Now, this is a guy for East Lansing who has numerous football scholarship offers from Big Ten schools, MAC schools, Michigan, Michigan State. They both have offered Andrell Anthony some wide receiver spots on their team. But the guy's explosive on the court, too. I saw him last night against Williamston there out in Williamston, Hornets versus Trojans. Now, Anthony didn't lead his team in scoring, but he's got that explosive first step that just kind of gets by people. He can float through the air. He's got that athletic ability to kind of throw it down or just kind of lay it up off a miss like that. He's got a good teammate in Marcus Warman Jr. as well, a guy who's been on the varsity since he was a freshman. So this is his third year. He's a junior. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. You talked about Risner for Lansing Catholic. Don't forget about Alex Waters, who was such a great wide receiver for them in the last 2 years. He's only a sophomore. He's playing on varsity for his second year. Another athletic guy who can just kind of shoot it, find his way to the bucket. You know, Okemos L, they were a great team last year. The Chiefs were fantastic, won the CAAC Blue title. They lost some components. They had some guys graduate, but there are still guys there like Noah Pruitt, a guy who's been starting at point guard for 4 years, a senior this year. Okemos potentially could find their way to another Blue title as well. You mentioned Ellis Traynor. I saw him play a couple of times last year, Al, as a junior. He's fantastic. Waverly is a team you cannot forget about in the Blue either. Traynor's got all the athletic ability to lead them to something special too as well. And you know Williamston. Williamson's been strong. They've won 7 straight conference titles, whether it's shared, whether it's in the white. Now they're in the CAAC red, which they won last year. No more Sean Cobb. He had been there for 4 years. He's departed. But they got young dudes like Mason Dox, who started as a freshman point guard last year. Jacob Wallace as well. Brandon Hunt. They've got a big 6'8 guy in the center who's trying to figure things out. East Lansing took it to him last night. At least they made it more interesting, Williamson did, late in that ball game. But there's so many guys out there. Portland, they've got Aaron. I think it's Aaron. I can't remember the kid's last name. Mm-hmm. He's really good, too. There's tons of guys out there, Al. I can keep going and going and going, but I better stop.
Yes, you could. Like I told you, he knows his stuff, folks. He knows his stuff. And you mentioned Mason Dox. in that loss to East Lansing for Williamston. I mean, the sophomore, he had a game high 22 points. He is definitely a player to watch as the year rolls along here. So, Doc, I want to ask you this. I mean, you bounced around a few different conferences there, and you highlighted a few different teams and players to watch throughout the year. I want to ask you right now, Doc, I mean, how would you evaluate the Greater Lansing area as a whole? How would you evaluate the health of boys basketball right now in terms of down-the-road competitiveness for a possible state title?
Well, we don't have Imani Bates. He is not in this area. A lot of people know who he is. Obviously, Tom Izzo is trying to get him to go here to East Lansing.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of talented teams and a lot of talented players. Now, do we have someone who could potentially go to Breslin Center again, like Pawamo Westphalia? Now, they just won a football title. Don't forget, in the spring, they won a basketball title. Boys and girls both won titles there. But PW, they lost four of their five starters. Only Aaron Beers is left off of that squad that went undefeated. At this point, after seeing one game, Al, I don't know that we have too many teams that could win a state championship, but we've got plenty of teams that could obviously make a deep run and potentially get to Breslin and maybe find their way to a semifinal. I don't know if I could point out somebody at the top of off the top of my head right now that I would see that could potentially make it that far, but it's still very competitive. There are a lot of great players. There are a lot of great teams. It's healthy. It's definitely healthy. You're talking about basketball in the mid-Michigan area.
Again, folks, get out. Get out and watch some games, man. There are some really talented young athletes here in the area. You know, Tuesdays and Friday nights, check out some local hoops. And I'm sure you're running to Doc. You'll see him on the sideline of many, many games doing what he does best, right? and you know what?
Thursday sometimes too, Al. The CMAC plays on Thursdays sometimes.
That is true.
So you could potentially go to three games in a week.
Look at that, man. Get out and enjoy it, folks. And you know what? I got two more questions for you, Doc, because you did bring up Imani Bates. And I don't know if you read the Sports Illustrated profile on Imani Bates. I mean, basically touting him up to be the second coming of LeBron James, for goodness sake. I'm curious. Have you seen him up close and in person? And if not, I'm pretty sure you've seen some YouTube videos on him. Just how good do you think this young man can be?
I've seen the YouTube videos. I've seen the highlights online. I've seen him play one time in person last year when he led his team to the championship at Breslin Center. I saw him play. He was fantastic. He was a leader out there, only a freshman, very thin, but extremely athletic, a guy who can fly through the air, knock down the three, whatever you need from him. LeBron James, I don't know about that. I did not read the article that you mentioned, Al.
Yeah.
Maybe Kevin Durant's area.
Yep.
He kind of seems more of that range player. I don't know about LeBron James-wise. It'd be bulked up, potentially. He's got some time, obviously, only being a youngster right now. But he could definitely be an NBA superstar down the future. It's a little ways down there, but it's potential.
For sure. And you know what the article did was it hit on exactly what you just, the comparison that you just made, Doc, that they compared his game to more so a Kevin Durant, but they compared the hype and the expectation for this young man in the air of a LeBron James. Because, you know, when he does graduate, Doc, what's being assumed is that the rule will be in place that, you know, it'll be the old school rule where a high school basketball player will be able to make that jump from high school to the pros by the time Bates graduates high school. Now, again, only time will tell if that rule does, in fact, go into play here, which is why, you know, you look at the offers that Imani Bates has. That's why a lot of schools are kind of staying away, because they also assume that this young man will make that leap to the pros. So I guess, you know, time will tell, right, Doc?
Absolutely. It always does, Al. You know that.
For sure. And one final question, Doc. I mean, you mentioned what happened last season with both the Pawamo Westphalia boys and girls basketball teams, and you look at where the football team is right now. I mean, Doc, when you sit down and talk with the athletic personnel at Pawamo Westphalia, what makes PW so special that allows them to be so successful on both the basketball court and the football field? What's the secret sauce?
Yeah, I don't know what the secret sauce is, Al. They got something. I don't think it's in the water. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know community and like leadership is a big thing out there. They're very tight-knit group. out there. It's two small villages put together, Pomo and Westphalia. They're kind of far enough out there. You know, they're not an outlier like an Okemos or Grand Ledge where they're pretty much close to Lansing. They're pretty much connected, if you will. I don't know what it is. I know community is big out there, and they take a lot of pride. And for the most part, a lot of players, and when they grow up and they're adults, they don't move far away. They kind of stay. There's that legacy type of thing. You see a lot of Thalens and Spitzleys and all that. They all tend to stay in that area.
Yeah.
And they raise their kids to be athletic players, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're doing something right. Whatever they're doing, they continue to do it every single year. It's very, very impressive. All right, Doc, can you let our listeners know out there, because I know you'll be hitting the airwaves later on this week to do some games. Can you let our listeners know how they can listen and follow your work, my friend?
Absolutely. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at EricDocLove, E-R-I-K-D-O-C-L-O-V-E. And this Friday, I'll be with my man Brock Palmbush on the game, 7:30 a.m. You can listen online, game730am.com, or on the free mobile app. We'll be in Grand Ledge, actually. We're going to check out the Comets as they host Okemos in CAAC Blue action. That's right, first week of the season now. We're getting conference play already. I'm looking forward to it. Comets, an up-and-coming squad. And I mentioned Okemos earlier, losing some players, but there are a lot of guys coming back as well.
They do an outstanding job. Good luck to you and Brock on Friday night, Doc. I'll be listening, my man. That's awesome stuff.
I appreciate it, Al.
The one, the only, Eric Doc Love. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we'll talk some Big Ten college hoops and elaborate a little bit more on the state of Michigan State basketball. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Gotta love Eric Doc Love, man. Doc always brings it. He is so good at what he does. If you have not listened to him on the air, he does a great job he's like the dare I say it, the Tony Romo of high school sports broadcasting. He really breaks it down for you and really paints a picture for you when you're listening to him. He is incredibly talented. And I'm looking forward to listening to him throughout the boys' high school basketball season. All right. As we close out the show here, we've got 5 minutes left. And the state of Big Ten basketball right now, pretty healthy. I think, again, this season, you will be able to make the argument that Big Ten basketball is rivaled by none in college hoops. And my goodness, I mean, Ohio State already has arguably the best college football team in the nation. And now you have an Ohio State basketball team that I think personally, right now, as I speak here on December 11th, this could change, especially if Michigan State gets better and figures some things out as the year goes along, which we expect to do. We expect Tom Izzo to do. But right now, Ohio State is the best team in Big Ten. Hoops. It's quite amazing watching this team. You know, this stat from Hoop Vision's Jordan Sperber on Twitter really sums up how good Ohio State has been so far this season. Check this. Ohio State has 3 20-point wins against top 50 KenPom teams. I don't know how big you guys are on KenPom, but I think there's a few things you can draw when looking at KenPom statistics. The rest of the country, again, Ohio State has 3 20-point wins against top 50 KenPom teams. The rest of the country has 3 total. That's incredible. I mean, and Penn State dropped to number 26 on Sunday, but you know, the point still stands here. You understand what I'm saying here. The Buckeyes have been dominating. They beat North Carolina by 25 in Chapel Hill. They followed that up with a 32-point home win over the same team that knocked off number 4 Maryland last night in Penn State. They beat Penn State by 32 points. Wow. And you look at how they've done this. Chris Holtmann, you know, he's been using this 8-man rotation. Everybody has this synergy on the squad right now. The Buckeyes have done just about everything right so far. They look like a complete team right now. Maybe you can even make the argument right now, especially when you put in perspective that tweet I just read. They may be the most impressive team in college hoops so far. Will this last? Who knows? Only time will tell. But watch out for Ohio State basketball, because this is a squad that is going to give a lot of teams trouble as the year rolls along. The next game for Ohio State will be on the 15th when they take on Minnesota on the road. That should be another win for Ohio State. But again, it's been a crazy college basketball year thus far. We'll see what happens there. And now Maryland's going to fall due to what happened against Penn State last night. But you know what has been the team that has been a surprise for me? The Michigan Wolverines. I think that right now, Juwan Howard, he has done a great job. And all of the doubters and all the haters out there that said, oh, my goodness, you hired a guy from the Fab Five. Juwan Howard is not – we don't know what kind of system he's going to run. This was not a great move for the Wolverines. It's going to be just like Jim Harbaugh. You hired a name. Can he really coach? Well, so far, Juwan Howard has been pretty solid for this squad. Will that continue? We'll see. I'll be looking closely at this team tonight. Going to make it a point to check out that game tonight against Illinois. That's, again, 9 p.m. tip time. Now, they also take on Oregon on Saturday. So, difficult week. Going to be an interesting test in both of those games. We'll see what happens. All right, folks. We're out of time. You hear the music in the background. We are on a 23-hour break. We'll see you on the Thursday edition of the show. Fight promoter Ron DeLeon will join me live here on the airwaves. Don't miss that interview. Take care and be easy, people.